Live from the beautiful Palladium's Royal Suites in Costa Mujeres, Mexico, this is the 2019 KSGF Great Escape Broadcast. Now, here's Nick Reed.
Springfield's News Talk FM, 1041 KSGF, and a good Tuesday morning. I'm Nick Reed, our 2019 Great Escape. Christy Fulnecki is
Yes, I'm here.
Again. Yes, I'm going to turn you
I
down.
I know, turn it down.
It's you that's
it's really loud.
Yeah,
I
there
know,
you go.
That's okay. Right. Woo. I don't have as much energy now, as I had yesterday.
Well, that's all right. We'll get it. Just get some shots lined up. It's not too early.
I know, that's right.
You said you were getting a lot of recommendations for podcast interviews.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And thanks. I'll get their names here in a second. But, yeah, all the people that listened Monday. What's today? Tuesday?
Today's Tuesday.
Okay. And so somebody had a really... Well, actually, maybe you had the idea about the homeless person, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm, I did.
Okay. And then so somebody said... Scott Quigg, so you know Randy Bacon, the photographer, he takes pictures of a bunch of different people.
Okay.
And so there's a guy that he sent me the link, and he's a homeless person that I could interview. And oh. Randy Bacon took pictures of him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'll show you his picture.
Okay.
Yeah, so I thought that was a great idea.
Everyone see that?
I think the... I think the best idea was interviewing Bob Stevens
for
my
yeah.
podcast.
Winning idea. I wonder if he'd do it.
You know what we could do? We could have him on your show. We have it.
I don't want to have him on my show.
No. Okay,
I do remember.
I
do remember. I was at the first time I met him when he was mayor. Or no. I think
no,
he was
I know
still
what
on
story
the council.
You're tell. I know
yeah,
what
I think he was still.
You haven't told. I mean, you've told me. I don't think you've said on the air, but.
Well, I don't know that. Actually, I think this is a different story, but maybe
no,
it is.
It's not. It's
and
not.
Anyway, it's the first time I met him, and he and Nick Ibarra at that time was on the council, and he was on the show, I think, you know, once a week. And so he was, you know, kind of complaining a little bit that Nick was on, and he's just like, he says, well, why? Why is it that you know Nick gets to come on every week? I said, well, because he asked to. I mean,
did he really say that?
Well, that's what. Well, no, I told. Him, I said he's because he asked. He's on the county. He said, hey, can I come on and talk about stuff going on in the city? I said, you know, and so I said, yeah, because he wanted to. I thought, oh, and I thought he was going to then ask, but he didn't. I guess he. I don't know.
Do you know?
I thought
can't
it was
remember
a funny conversation.
Where he said this that. He got mad at me because he said I was getting a police escort after all the city council meetings. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, the cops are the only people that are nice to me there. So they're my only friends that I have. Is there, like, a hurricane going on behind us?
No.
Okay.
It's all around us.
Okay. Well, I'm just wondering because the lights are shaking. And
it's just wind. And,
okay, well, that's good.
I mean,
I don't think you would say
so
anything.
Hurricanes aren't like tornadoes. You usually, there's a big lead time. I mean, we would have heard something by now. It's not like, oh, look,
well, before
there's a hurricane.
This, I was asleep, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think days usually, on. Days ahead.
And so that was another thing that he was mad about. He's an interesting fellow.
Yeah.
I know he always
Well, see, that's a reason to do an interview with him. On your podcast.
I know. No, what I was
going
to say
what's going on.
Is that you could have Bob on and have me, and then we can, like, rehash everything what happened.
Yeah, I'd do that.
I think that would be
well,
good.
Just bring him with you someday when you come on a Thursday.
I don't know. I don't know how to find him. I think he was working as a bellboy or something at University Plaza.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
So if somebody knows how to find him, you could send him
like
a message.
He's elusive. We have a Netflix special. Where's Bob Stevens?
We're talking about finding Bob Stevens. So, yeah, he was working at University Plaza for a while.
I'm not sure.
I think that would be great. It would be really interesting. Do you think you would do it?
Well, sometimes people
wouldn't come on your show. Like, when right. I think, didn't you invite the mayor on when I was running for mayor? And we were going to have him on, have
Probably.
A debate, but he didn't come on.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
I know.
I've gotten to where I like doing that less and less because generally, not always, there are a few exceptions.
Me?
But generally, you just get the same answers, and it's just like
it's kind of like a canned response,
right?
I know.
Yeah,
that's and I don't like that,
which
either.
Is part of the reason, you know. It's so I always liked having you on, and I like having Senator Eric Burleson on because they don't ever need to know ahead of time, or you don't. Because some of those people, they'd be like, "Well, what questions are you going to ask?"
I'm like, "Oh, they know. Ask you what
oh,
questions?
Oh, yeah, yeah, they,
you,
yeah,
they're
they,
gonna...
yeah, they'll want to know." And I just got, I was like, "No." I mean, I'm not going to like ask these gotcha questions, but when you're really secure in your beliefs, you don't need to know that. And so
that's true.
With
oh,
you, of course,
well,
you're not
yeah.
in elected office anymore, but yeah. Senator Burleson, he is, and he's never like, well, what are we going to talk about? Or he doesn't have to craft his answers.
Well, yeah, I guess
and
people don't like
do.
To be caught off guard, but if you really know what you're talking about, especially if you're running for office, you should know why you're running for office. Why would you need the questions ahead of time?
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting. So are you going to do that? You'll do that this year, though, because this is the election year. You'll have to have everybody on.
Or next
you?
Year, you mean? 2020?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
This coming
I just,
year.
It, we'll see.
Well, you
I mean,
have to,
I'll have
you?
Trump on. I'll do that.
Can I be on when you have Trump on?
Yeah.
That would be really fun. I
I'd
totally
be like, who's
would.
This? I'm like, it's just a lady. I like just a lady who ran. All right. More with Christy Fulnecki. What?
Are we going to talk about something or not?
Yeah, sure. We can.
I know. Hey, it sounds like a lot of people listened yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I got a lot of messages
well,
from people.
Good,
so
very good. We'll
thanks,
see.
Everybody.
Thanks, everyone. It is our 2019 Great Escape live broadcast sponsored by none other than Ming Auto Beauty Center. More coming up. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to the 2019 KSGF Great Escape Broadcast from the beautiful Grand Palladium's Royal Suites in Costa Mujeres, Mexico. Welcome back. This is the 2019 KSGF Great Escape Broadcast from the beautiful Grand Palladium's Royal Suites in Costa Mujeres, Mexico.
Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF, our 2019 Great Escape. Christy Fulnecki here. I was talking earlier about Nikki Haley, and she's got a new memoir out. She talks about...
Can I interrupt you? What is she doing now?
Releasing a memoir.
I know, but
I don't mean,
okay, so...
I think campaigning for 2024.
But why did she leave? Didn't she leave her position?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As the UN ambassador. I don't remember
UN.
Why.
I always liked her.
Yeah, I kind of like her. I liked her for a bit, and she lost a little favor from me when she was governor of South Carolina because of like the Confederate statue.
Yeah,
thing.
Right.
And,
I know.
And
that
I,
really
I felt
made,
like
that
she
kinda
was.
That kind of made me mad.
Yeah, but she did such a great job as when she was there at the UN, and just really, I mean, she did not stand down. And I remember there was this photo, and I thought, oh man, that photo is just awesome. And there was a resolution about something, and we were the only ones that voted either
yeah,
in favor
right.
against it.
I can't remember.
And there was the, and a photo of her in this sea of other people, and she just has her hand defiantly up in the air with this, you know, look of determination on her face. And I was like,
yeah.
"Dang, that is an awesome moment."
I know.
It was
She's
just
cool.
really cool. I don't
just
know.
Didn't know why she left.
Yeah,
I can't remember that.
I don't know.
Okay,
well, anyway, so she's claiming in her memoir that former White House Chief of Staff John Kelly and former Secretary of State Rex Tillerson sought to recruit her to work around and subvert Trump, claiming that they weren't being insubordinate and they had to save the country from him. And
really?
Yeah. And this is, you know, and so I was talking earlier about how this stuff actually helps Trump because it reestablishes
yeah, right.
that he is an outsider and that they can't stand him. But this is the other thing. All of these people that go around saying they're going to save the country from Trump, I'm like, what has he done that has made our country in a position where we need saving?
Well, because they can't control him.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But even if you just look, you're like, let's have an example. Give us an example of the things that he has done as president that have destroyed the country. I mean, what?
Yeah, the low unemployment rate.
Right.
I mean, internet with women and minorities and... I don't know.
I mean, it's
respecting law enforcement and
it's a created crisis in their own minds because what
yeah.
they basically their definition of destroying the country is that they really don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much in their minds. And I think you listen to some of these people on the left that have shows, and they talk as if you were from another planet and you came in and you're listening to them, you would think we look like Venezuela.
Yeah, right.
With total chaos, with all of these horrible things going on, because that's what they act like. And it's sad. They get themselves so wrapped up in their hate for Trump, they can't even enjoy that things are going well. You know?
I know. Well, they're not going to admit that things are going well. So
can you imagine how much better we'd be if they, I mean, I'm not saying they have to rubber stamp everything, but just, I don't know, at least offered some alternative policy and but let him continue to actually work as president, yeah, instead of trying to impeach from
well,
day one.
And you know, for the, to give credit to Republicans, I mean, half the time we don't do things right anyway, but, you know, when Clinton was president, they had the whole contract with America thing.
Yeah.
And at least, I mean, they let him take credit for welfare reform and all that, even though Newt Gingrich was doing it. So, I mean, we at least let other people take credit
right,
and then celebrate when things are going right because we're actually wanting to solve problems.
Well, I mean, to that point, Trump even, he's the one that on a number of occasions has said, I'll work with them. He brings them in. But, of course, they, you know, storm out and they don't want, they won't even work with them on anything.
Yeah. And well, and that's, thank goodness for Twitter and everything, like I've said before, because if it wasn't for him defending himself, I mean, they would walk all over him. And I mean, the picture in the cabinet room, I mean, I just love that when she's standing up and he's calling her crazy. I mean, everybody's looking at her. I mean, the media's calling Trump crazy, but then you look at Crazy Nancy and she's like pointing her finger, leaning over the table at him.
Well, and I've never been a big believer in promoting, going to bring everyone together, because if the other side doesn't want to be brought together, there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, yeah, right.
And I remember when Bush was running for president, and that was, they talked about how he brought together Democrats and Republicans in Texas.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he was going to do that in Washington. And I was like, well, that's kind of dependent on the Democrats agreeing to that. You can't make people work together if the other side doesn't want to.
Well, you know, the thing that is crazy to me is that, especially when, you know, Trump, we were talking about him being in pop culture and around Hollywood and he had a TV show and everything, is that he wrote a book called The Art of the Deal. Yeah. I mean, everybody knew that he was a deal maker. And so to think that he's not going to want to sit down and try to negotiate with people, I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
You can tell I didn't sleep that much. Well, maybe it's not the sleep. I don't know.
Well, I do sit back and think what it would look like if I, and again,
if I was president.
If you were president.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I don't expect rubber stamping everything, but just for Pete's sake, at least work with him like you said. Republicans worked with Clinton whenever they could find common ground.
Who cares? I mean, Clinton took credit for all of that. Just, I mean, it's crazy to think. When was that, 2006? I think it was.
Well, or they'll really tout. They're like, you know, the last time we had a projected balanced budget was Clinton. Well,
yeah,
the government got shut down in order to make that happen.
That's right. Oh, people forget about that.
Yeah,
that's
because
right.
The Republicans in the contract with America were, you know, like, we are going to, this was a promise we made, and the government shut down until he would eventually.
I had a contract with Springfield, but that didn't really work.
More with Christy Fulnecki as we continue our Tuesday broadcast here live, our 2019 Great Escape from Costa Mujeres, Mexico, and the Yucatan Peninsula. Ming Auto Beauty Center sponsoring our live broadcast. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to the 2019 KSGF Great Escape broadcast from the beautiful Grand Palladium's Royal Suites in Costa Mujeres, Mexico. Welcome back. This is the 2019 KSGF Great Escape Broadcast from the beautiful Grand Palladium's Royal Suites in Costa Mujeres, Mexico.
Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF. I'm Nick Reed. Christy Fulnecki with us on our 2019 Great Escape Live Broadcast. Saturday marked the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Really? Yeah. I didn't see that.
And this is a part of history.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot to take away from this. One is that walls do kind of work.
That's right.
You know, why did it have to come down if walls don't work?
Well, they know walls work.
Right.
Because all the people that are against them have them.
Right.
They just don't want other people to have walls. Yeah.
But right. It kills people like that. Walls don't work. I'm like, but then they want to also at the same time compare, you know, who else built a wall? Hitler. And I'm like, and it kind of worked. I mean, it worked for a bad reason, but it worked nonetheless. So yeah. You're sort of defeating your own argument here. But it was very interesting that when you look at the juxtapositioning between the East and the West, where the West was the West, West Germany was, democratic in nature, and then you had the socialist communist side. And when people were fleeing one, it was pretty much a one-way street. People would literally, in order to escape the horrors of socialism and communism, they would risk being murdered. They would risk, they would run and try to dive through barbed wire in order to get to freedom. And you think that there are people today who they want that socialism. They think that that's what they want in this country, that they actually have Bernie Sanders and, some of these others that are promoting democratic socialism as if that somehow is better than some. I mean, Hitler, they voted him into power.
Well, if they really wanted that, why don't they go to the other countries? Why don't they move? Everybody's coming to America still,
right?
Obviously. They must freedom.
Yeah, they can't ever get over that argument when they try to talk about how bad the U.S. is and how racist we are. And you say, well, then why is it people from all those countries will risk their lives to come here?
That's right.
That's a big stumper for them. They can't get past that one.
And what happened to all the people that were going to leave when Trump was elected?
I did see...
Nobody left, did they?
Not that
all
I'm
those
aware
people?
Of.
Whoopi, everybody's still here.
I think...
Still making money, right?
If I remember right, James Comey said recently that he was going to move to New Zealand if Trump won re-election. Well, why not go now? What is this if Trump wins re-election? Just
go
there now.
He's not president.
Go.
I know.
Go. Just leave. I don't understand this if he wins re-election stuff. Just get out of here.
I'm glad that you brought that up because 30 years. So none of my kids, hopefully they know about that, about the wall coming down. But I just thought that was so awesome what Reagan said about Gorbachev to tear down the wall. And I don't know. We just don't have decisive leaders like that anymore. Except for Trump.
Yeah. That's the sort of thing Trump would have. And Reagan, they are a lot different in a lot of ways. But they both did not worry about necessarily offending evil.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't. And Churchill was that way as well. People, they dogged on Churchill for his personality. A lot of the same criticisms that existed for Churchill exist for Trump. And in fact, the BBC, prior to his becoming prime minister, he was banned from the BBC because he was...
I think you mentioned that before.
Yeah, he was very critical of the way that we were trusting Hitler, or we, I guess it wasn't us, but the Europeans,
right.
and that this constant, well, we need to compromise, let's sign this treaty, we need to try and avoid war at all costs. And he was, out there saying this is not going to work out the way that is going to be favorable towards us. And so they were afraid that he would offend Hitler and he would disrupt things. So he was banned from the BBC.
Have you ever watched, I'm not changing the subject, but when Trump goes to, other countries and he's with other leaders, people really respect him. Mm. I mean, the celebrities make fun of him here, but he's really respected in other parts of the world because they know that he will stand up to him.
Yeah.
He's not going to draw a line in the sand in the play box like Obama.
Yeah. They may not necessarily love the fact that the U.S. isn't a pushover anymore.
I know, but they respect him.
But they do. They respect him. They've got, how can you not? You may not like it. And that was part of my big concern with Obama. Everyone was talking about, we want the rest of the world to love us again. I'm like, what are you so worried about everybody loving you
for? I know.
If you're at
you want to be everybody's friend.
Being popular isn't the most important thing in life. It's doing what is right. And if you're elected president of the United States, your number one priority should be the United States of America. And for too long, when it comes to the international world, that wasn't the case.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
Which is why we were walked
over. It'll be interesting, speaking of Mexico, since we're here, to see what happens with Mexico. Because this guy that is a president, he hasn't been president very long. He's been president like 10 months or something. He's really liberal. Anybody that wants to hug the cartel, hugs not bullets, that we were talking about yesterday.
Does that rhyme when you say it in Spanish?
I don't know. Why are you looking at me? I don't speak Spanish.
Well, you look like you would.
I know.
Look, because I just think, you know, hugs not drugs was a thing that was said here for a while.
Oh,
but that rhymed.
Right.
That rhymed. And I'm like, hugs not bullets. That doesn't rhyme, but maybe it does.
Well,
when
the
you
president,
say it.
The president of Mexico came up with that. I didn't come up with that.
Well,
I
know,
mean,
you,
I know
you
rhyme. I know how to
That's
rhyme.
That's what I thought maybe it anyway.
Well, I got
it.
Are
it
we,
doesn't
do we have to
matter.
Take another break?
Yeah, we'll take a break. We'll continue on. It's our Tuesday broadcast. We're going to be broadcasting live from our 2019 Great Escape tomorrow, and then Thursday, Matt Canovey will be in studio, and Friday, the Locke and Smith Foundation, Tom Arts, Dr. John Lilly, will be in studio on that day as well. We continue on here, the 2019 Great Escape live broadcast, sponsored by Ming Auto Beauty Center. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to the 2019 KSGF Great Escape broadcast from the beautiful Grand Palladium's Royal Suites in Costa Mujeres, Mexico. Welcome back. This is the 2019 KSGF Great Escape Broadcast from the beautiful Grand Palladium's Royal Suites in Costa Mujeres, Mexico.
Springfield's News Talk FM, 104.1 KSGF. I'm Nick Reed. Christy Fulnecki joining us this morning. There's a piece in Breitbart, My Socialist Hell, Living in Post-Electricity Venezuela, and it's and part of what I find so funny about the launching point of this piece is talking about part of the socialist life that was detrimental was the inconsistency of power availability. And I think about California and
yeah, right.
how leftist
I know,
that
right.
state is and how here they, you know, and it's just amazing to me. If you take politics out of it, you take Republican out, you take Democrat out, you take all that out, and you just look at the worst places to live in the world, and they're socialist places. And the places
That's right.
that are better, what historically and modern day, are the places that there is more freedom, that it, you know, you don't have the socialism. And the atrocities that have been committed against mankind have been done in the name of socialism and communism. And, I mean, it's just how...
You know, I hope the people voting today understand that. I don't know if
well,
the younger people...
they clearly don't.
Yeah.
I mean, why? Who would be like, I know, life's too good.
Well, that's
I want,
true. Yeah,
I want to
yeah.
turn this into a hellhole. It's just a lack of education. And this is... The people that vote and support, like, the Bernie Sanders and the Elizabeth Warrens, those are the people who are supposed to be the recipient of the message about, you know, learning history so you don't repeat it.
Right.
You don't repeat the mistakes that we make. And, I mean, they do. It's just
See,
amazing.
See, that's a problem that, I mean, this is why I'm fascinated with this whole thing on politics and pop culture influencing each other. Because, you know, I mean, some of these young kids, well, not the ones that I know because they're smarter than that, but... think, you know, AOC, all these other people are, oh, they're so cool. You know, socialism is cool. This is, you know, the thing to do. Hollywood is promoting this. And so I don't know. You just have to, if it's something that's going to be cool in pop culture to bring back socialism, then you're going to have to do something about it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you get to the point you don't know what to do because it's not like there's a lack of evidence.
Well, that's true.
This isn't an academic discussion as to whether or not socialism works. There are examples all over the place. And I saw, I think Tom Arts had posted on Facebook yesterday or the day before, something that I've seen before, but it was a map of the United States. And you have the blue counties, which are very few.
Oh, yeah, right.
But these are the areas in which most of the problems occur. And they are also the areas that are run without question by Democrats, by people who say government is the answer. And then every time it's, well, we got to tackle this problem. What's the answer? We got some new program. It's like, how often do you do the same thing over and over again with the same results before you go, maybe we should try something different? I don't know. I mean, here's the way I look at it. I don't know anything about roofing, okay? But if there are two houses in my neighborhood, or let's say that storms come through and everybody in my neighborhood has storm damage, and there are basically two roofers that get hired. And once they're finished, you can look at one and see that they're shingle, you know, they leave trash everywhere. It doesn't look good. After a few rains, people who live in those homes are complaining about the ceiling leaking, and the others are just fine. Now, I don't have to know jack about roofing to know whom it is that I'm going to hire if I need a roof.
Right.
It's the one that works. But you have these people that, for again, I guess it's just a detachment from reality or a lack of knowing what's going on in the world, that they're like, oh, socialism. Oh, yeah, let's try that. Even though everywhere you look, you got a leaky roof. You got shingles
everywhere.
Well,
people that are results-driven, that look at the, you know, the end point of what happens when you try to solve problems, they probably understand. The problem with the educational system is that the kids aren't taught that. You know, I mean, so this is what happens when you have socialism. I mean, I don't think that they're being taught that. And so it's all about, you know, feeling good, helping the other person, which is fine. But, you know, not when it comes to, you know, sharing money and the redistribution of wealth. I don't think they're really learning about that.
No.
Well, the kids, I mean, they're not.
Well, they can't be learning about the results of it, because if you did, why would you support it?
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying.
And why is it that people who live in socialist country, these contradictions. People on the left say that we should welcome these tens and hundreds of thousands of people across our borders because they live in hellholes. So for humanitarian reasons.
Yeah, right.
But then they want to turn this country, and talking about people on the left, particularly young people, into a form of government that those people are fleeing.
That's right. I know.
And
that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
They're not running to somewhere else. I mean, how many people are running into Mexico? Now, we came here, but for vacation.
Yeah.
How many people?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's like Venezuela. That would be a great place to live. Even people who hate Trump. You don't ever hear Democrats, you know, well, if so-and-so gets elected, I'm going to move to Venezuela.
Oh, yeah.
Because
well, Trump's
got
doing
socialism.
Such a bad job. I mean, obviously, the Mexican people are still trying to come to the United States, obviously, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't think that one would do that, like flee to a country that supposedly is racist.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I don't know how everyone thinks. That's all. We are continuing. We are day two into our live broadcast
here. Is that what
here.
Day it is?
Yes.
So what time is it? Do you know?
I don't have any idea what time it is. I just do the show, and I just, when Sarah's like, stop talking.
Break. Then, yeah. I know that. I know the break. I know. That's very stressful.
More with Christy Fulnecki, our 2019 Great Escape live broadcast. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to the 2019 KSGF Great Escape broadcast from the beautiful Grand Palladium's Royal Suites in Costa Mujeres, Mexico. Welcome back. This is the 2019 KSGF Great Escape broadcast from the beautiful Grand Palladium's Royal Suites in Costa Mujeres, Mexico.
Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF. I'm Nick Reed. Christy Fulnecki with us on our 2019 Great Escape.
I'm here.
By the way, thanks for helping out with the show.
Oh, well, that's nice. Yeah, you're welcome.
I don't say thanks enough.
I know.
So
that's right.
Thank you.
But
I appreciate
at least I get free
you.
Coffee, right?
Yeah, and it's how is it compared to what you get in the
station?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a little better here, I think.
Okay.
But that's okay. Hey, I know you're going to talk about something, but
yeah.
I do want to say.
Say it. Say it.
Okay. So, and this is from the website Promoting Cancun, but that it's very safe here. That's what they say in Cancun.
Well, that's a good selling point.
I know, that's right. Okay, so it's not even in the 10 most dangerous cities in Mexico. Cancun is not, okay? So you should be safe. Now, Los Cabos is higher. Acapulco, Tijuana. Oh, yeah, I'm sure Tijuana. So you should feel good that Cancun is... Okay, so...
Well, especially when you're on a resort. I mean, these...
Oh, I know.
The problem with the drug running and all that sort of... They have no interest in resorts. The drug
running... That's right, I know.
This
yeah,
is
right.
of no interest to them. You know, people, before we're leaving, like, well, be careful. You know, those murdered, you know, Americans. I was like, well, first off...
The family.
That is nowhere
Mormons.
Near where we are. I mean, that's south of the border.
Yeah.
That they weren't on a resort. One has nothing to... I mean, that's like, to me... Some, you know, you, because you have a lot of murders in Chicago, telling somebody who's going to Branson, well, be careful, because, you know, Chicago has all those murders.
I know.
Like if somebody's visiting the U.S. from Germany.
Well, see,
these are two totally different places.
These are really interesting statistics. Okay. It said, what if I told you that nearly as many Americans die from falling out of bed each year as the total people killed in Cancun in 2018?
I believe you. But only because you brought it up. It
would
be sort of a weird...
because it's on this random website.
Right. Well, so, yeah, it must
be
true.
Or that nearly twice as many people die from contact with powered lawnmowers each year than there were homicides in Cancun in 2018.
Yeah, those are...
The lawnmowers, you have to be careful with those.
Yeah, you
do. Because that's kind of dangerous.
Do you know, one of the... We've talked about this on air, talking about comparing and the disproportionate... emotional response we have to incidents.
I have no idea what you're talking about right
people,
now.
You'll get there.
If you get there, maybe I'll get there.
That a person who is in the United States of high school or school age is more likely to die from being hit by lightning than dying from a school shooting. Statistically, there are more people every year that are high school and middle school, you know, that are school age that die from getting hit by lightning than are shot. And so, yet, you know, the reaction to the school shootings, and we have to have backpacks that are bulletproof. I'm like, you ought to have backpacks that have, like, somehow protect you from being struck by lightning because they got a greater chance of that.
Okay, what about the lightning and being bit by a shark?
I don't
know. With those two.
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, I was just wondering.
John Stossel's really good about making those comparisons. I remember years ago, he did a piece on the fact that kids are more likely to die from drowning in a swimming pool that they have in their home than being shot by a gun that is in the home.
Is that true?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or was it that time? I mean, this was several years ago.
That's
good. He was doing the comparisons, making the point about how the media and social media and people, they... There's a disproportionate amount of concern for some things versus others. When it's more dangerous to do these, everyday things, but we don't think much of it. But then, you know, well, we need to get rid of the Second Amendment because of some shooting that occurred.
So, do you think that we should have? I know some schools do have security guards, but why can't all schools have them with guns?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they'd be totally fine. What do you think?
Yeah, I've always thought they should have in schools, like, the ability to pump sleeping gas in. So if there's a school shooter, you could just do that. Like, lock everything down and then do that.
And so all the kids would go to sleep?
Yeah.
Are you being serious?
Yeah. Well,
that
it would include the school shooter.
Sense. Oh, okay.
There would be they wouldn't be immune.
Unless
to
they
it.
Had a mask on if they found out about it.
Well, and they probably would. You know, we were listening to, on the way to St. Louis, we were listening to Dave Chappelle's latest Netflix.
Oh, deal. Really?
Have you heard that?
No.
He talks about school shootings and how, you know.
My daughter was telling me about
and
it.
And how the, like, at their school, they had sort of this meeting about potential school shootings. And he was like, you know, as a black person, he's like, ain't black kids that do this. It's the white kids do it. He's like, you know, like the white
parents,
you know.
That's true.
But he said the thing also that he realized is that you're trained, like one of these kids that are here, if there's a school shooting, it's going to be one of these kids. So you're basically training them how to.
That's
because
right.
He,
good point.
It is. I mean,
that's true.
I told Morgan, I said, I never really thought of that before. It's a good point. So when you're teaching everyone what to do in case there's an active shooter, you're also teaching the active shooter where everyone is going to be going. It's true.
That's hilarious.
But that's the sort of thing that...
I mean, it's not...
That's the sort of thing that I find interesting because people don't think anymore about this
thing. I never even thought about that, but that's pretty great. Is it funny? I'm sure it's really funny.
Well, he's of course. Funny. I mean, obviously it is. It's a stand-up comedy act on Netflix.
Sure somebody's going to call in and say that you're being sensitive.
Yeah, well...
Whatever.
It is Tuesday. More with Christy Fulnecki here on the 2019 Great Escape. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to the 2019 KSGF Great Escape broadcast from the beautiful Grand Palladium's Royal Suites in Costa Mujeres, Mexico. Welcome back. This is the 2019 KSGF Great Escape broadcast from the beautiful Grand Palladium's Royal Suites in Costa Mujeres, Mexico.
Springfield's News Talk FM, 104.1 KSGF. I'm Nick Reed. Welcome to our second day of broadcasting live from Costa Mujeres, Mexico. It's in the Yucatan Peninsula. It's south, north of Cancun. I don't know where.
No,
it is.
We are north of Cancun.
Okay, north of Cancun.
We're north of Cancun.
I can't keep it
you
straight.
You got it straight. I know. We
I
had
can't.
A look on the map yesterday.
One of the things last week that was announced that Michael Bloomberg is considering once again getting into the presidency, and it just cracks me up that you have these people. I mean, you look at the individuals that are running as Democrats, and you have some that basically say there should be no billionaires.
Yeah.
And then you have one that is a billionaire, Michael Bloomberg.
That's right. I know.
So, and it's like, how do you, it's just such a weird thing going on with the Democrats right now. Not that Republicans don't have their troubles, but it's just like you would look and you'd be like, what does this party represent? I don't understand. You know, I mean, they talk about how they represent minorities and that they're the party of that, which is you're supposed to demonstrate by putting those in the forefront. Yet Democrats collectively, they're supporting the old rich white guys. And
that's
now
right.
Elizabeth Warren is in there.
Well, you know, she is a minority.
Well,
though.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, I know.
She's a beer chugging.
I know, that's right.
Native American.
My girl. Yep. I wonder if she's going to be the last one standing. I can't see that, really.
I don't know.
What do you do
if you're a Democrat? I mean, this is the big struggle they're having. And that's why Bloomberg is looking at getting in, because he and a lot, they just, no one is the clear front runner, obviously.
You know,
and it's not like
smart,
these people aren't known.
Well, if they were smart, they would get somebody like the old Democrats.
Well, that's what Joe Biden's supposed to be.
No, Joe Biden is. I don't know.
Well, oh, you mean the more moderate?
More moderate.
Do they even exist?
I don't know. What about the chick from Hawaii?
Tulsi Gabbard. Yeah, she was a Sanders supporter.
Yeah.
Last time around. She's, you know, I mean,
she sounds. But she is really liberal.
Yeah, she is.
And she tries to portray herself.
Well, the thing about her is because she doesn't squawk and she speaks in a very disciplined way,
she doesn't give
the impression that she's a lunatic on
that
the
left.
That she's
crazy.
Like Elizabeth Warren and Hillary and Bernie Sanders, these others, that their presentation, you associate socialist with crazy behavior because most of them do act that way. You know? I mean, Bernie Sanders, he looks like he combs his hair with a balloon and he should be like in a Back to the Future remake. They just are all so weird.
That you have to be afraid of are people like, you know, Hillary and all those other people that seem intelligent and that they can like shift, you know, any way that you want.
Well, and that's the thing about Tulsi Gabbard is that
she think she's like that. She
supported Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton. She was a delegate for. I mean, she pushed that. That's why there's that falling out between those two, because she was very vocal.
I just wondered if there was somebody that was conservative that was a Democrat, how they would do. You know, I mean, they would have probably more of a shot against Trump. I don't know. It's gonna be so hard.
I guess none of them really fit that bill. Some are trying to portray Buttigieg like that, but I just don't. I mean,
no.
This guy, just go look at how he's run his city.
He doesn't have a shot.
No, you wouldn't think, but I don't know. And now the other Democrats are mocking him. There's a story in the Free Beacon, and they're reporting that the New York Times reveals that the widespread annoyance about Buttigieg comes after he declared last week that the Democrat primary was a two-way race between him and Elizabeth Warren. And so the other Democrats, this really annoyed them because they're all being asked about it. It's kind of a smart move for Buttigieg because now all of the candidates were being asked, well, what do you think about Buttigieg saying this is a two-way? So he is, just by him saying that, it makes it almost appear as if it is, because they're talking about it as if that's the case.
Well, you know, who has the most name recognition? Because, I mean, that's what it comes down to when you know.
Biden, Warren, and
I mean, you see all these things that people, they interview them on the street when they used to do jaywalking and all that stuff. And people have no idea, you know, who the president, vice president, but people know who Trump is. That's why I was so excited when he originally ran. People know who Hillary Clinton is. Mm-hmm. I don't know, that doesn't work in her favor.
Though.
I know. Well, that's true.
I have no idea. There's a conspiracy. I don't know if you want to call it a conspiracy theory, but some say that this impeachment is twofold. And one of the purposes is to force a trial, which would keep Elizabeth Warren off the campaign trail because she'd have to be there during the trial in the Senate.
Oh, that's good.
And that this is all crafted so Hillary Clinton, it makes it more likely that she can come in and that she doesn't have any sort of part to play in any of that impeachment stuff, but it would keep Bernie Sanders, because he's a senator,
and they
would not be able to campaign. Now, I don't know whether there's any truth to
that. Have you talked about that before?
I mentioned it.
Oh, okay.
I mentioned it on a segment that I did with Brian Calfano on Color 10. I don't know that I've talked about it on the show before.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I debuted that brilliant idea on television. I don't even actually know if that is that may be my theory.
I know. That's actually a good theory.
Yeah, I like it. Everybody can have
because then they don't associate Hillary with impeachment.
And she can be out there to fill the void while they're in D.C.
That's pretty smart. Yeah. Maybe you just gave her an idea. Thanks.
You're welcome. Our 2019 Great Escape. We continue our live broadcast. More coming up. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to the 2019 KSGF Great Escape Broadcast from the beautiful Grand Palladium's Royal Suites in Costa Mujeres, Mexico.